Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy, oh yeah, that's right, Tuesday. That's right, it's no longer Monday, and I feel like the spirit of the Lord is with me. Everything is different. Everything has changed.
We made it to Tuesday. Yeah, things we did. That.
Like, the week is basically over.
Tuesday.
The week is basically over.
Wow, calm yourself. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are.
But it is a joyous occasion to be celebrating on this day of twos, and on this day of twos, I choose you, Turdy Lou.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. So Jackie and I recorded a podcast episode yesterday. It's up on our Patreon, which was honestly...
It's high praise and award. We did one of our favorite installments called Toast Radio, which gets a lot of heat. And we kind of just like walked through the fire. We took the heat and we're like, the world.
We are so brave.
The world needs Toast Radio, come hell or high water.
So it's an episode that's like over an hour long, and it features everything you would want if you're going on a walk, if you're going for a workout, if you're just like needing to kill time. You're like, should I listen to my favorite podcast or like some sick beats? Well, you can do both with Toast Radio.
So it's like a radio show. We pick music. The theme for yesterday's was running songs. But we got to talking because, as you guys probably can tell, I've started calling Claudia Turtle because the nickname for me has more from Turdy, Turtaloo, Turtle.
It's a natural transition.
It's the next progression, the next iteration of the name. But she's kind of stopped me in my tracks and requested that I stick to Turdy Lou because, you know, you've kind of like built a business around it, this whole brand. And like, if I carry on as Turtle, people could get confused and they might start calling you Turtle when like Turdy Lou has work to do.
And it's also really crazy how like, yeah, technically the nickname you gave me is Duty and it doesn't bother me at all. But like Turtle, like, ew, you know, Duty's fine. It's like that Drake meme. Duty, Turtle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it. I'm not slow.
She's requested that I stop calling her Turtle on the show to keep her Turdy Lou brand intact.
Yeah.
And that's going to be hard for me because I just kind of march to the beat of my own drum.
Correct.
You could say. And I'm going to try it. I'll still call you Turtle in private, and the nickname will continue to morph in private because I am who I am.
Right, and I'm not going to stifle you. On the show,
I will call you by your chosen name, Turtaloo.
I appreciate that immensely.
Turtaloo who? Turdy Lou, you.
Speaking of Turdy Lou who, not to get ahead of myself, but it does feel like, you know, holiday season isn't that far away.
Well, I just want to say it's raining here today, which is why I'm wearing my girly set. I'm going for some cozy vibes, even though my studio, I'm not going to complain because your studio is like hell on earth right now.
No, but also, but like, why would
my studio's a little musty today.
Why would the weather have any bearing on your outfits? You literally work from home.
No, I know, but it was the mood. It's called a mood.
Oh, okay.
Like, I looked outside and I'm like, ooh, I'm feeling moody. Like, what if I just went with a sweat? And I haven't worn sweats in a while because I've been, like, dressing for the seasons. But I even went so far as to think, what about a chili?
Oh, you think it's a chili? Actually, it's kind of a chilly day in New York, too. It's, like, super foggy. But Ben's not home, so my chef is out.
But I don't think it's a chilly day.
Oh.
It's not the chilly season. Like, I kind of filled up my cup in the fall and winter. And I'm not really even craving, like, of course, if someone put a steaming pot of chili in front of me, I would enjoy myself, but I don't have that itch.
Yeah, no, but it does, you know, when the new year comes around, we feel so far away from that sort of fall, football, chili, holiday season. And I feel like we're coming out of like the worst time of year, which is the first few months of the year. It's the weather is horrible. Everyone's depressed. There's like no holidays. I feel like we're coming out of it. It's like about to be May. It's literally summer and it's basically Christmas.
It's gonna be May. Oh yeah. Tomorrow is May. I know that the ends of the month are so crazy busy for me. I don't know how I plan my life to be this way, but we always have like Patreon, whatever obligations we haven't done, like we have to do it at the end of the month. And then Redheads, we record the first Thursday of the month. So I'm always speed reading at the end of the month. And that's where I'm at today. We're recording Redheads today because Redheads drops first Thursday in May. I haven't finished the book yet, you guys.
Oh.
I'm usually, like, first of all, I never like to tear a book to shreds because someone put their blood, sweat, and tears into this book. And okay, so it wasn't for me. Big whoop.
By the way, I completely agree with that, except every now and then a book comes along, first lie wins. That is so offensively bad.
Our country friends.
That you absolutely have to tear it to shreds. Because I also do feel bad, especially like as somebody with a platform. Like, you know, so many authors, like,
They get so excited. Oh, they chose our book for the Redheads. Let me hear what they have to say.
I know. And it's like, how do you critique? Writing is so personal. As two authors ourselves, like, I really don't know how to critique a book that I hate so much. Like, I actually feel annoyed that I wasted my time. I'm angry at the author.
So this book is not offensively bad. I'm just not enjoying it. And if it wasn't a book for the Redheads, I wouldn't finish it. I did text Snitch and she is liking it. And I think a lot of people will like it. I just am in a headspace right now where this is like seriously not for me. And not only do I not like to tear a book to shreds, but my role as the Redheads host, like I really do try to be in the middle of the road. Yep. And that's also just my nature as a person. Like if there's people who don't like it and people who do like it, I'm a little bit of both. I see both sides.
She's a little bit country. She's a little bit rock and roll.
She sees both sides as she always does.
I always
see both
sides.
When there's two sides to see.
Oh, okay, Jingle. Okay, yeah, Barry Manilow.
Turtle. Turdy Lou.
Excuse me?
Asterisk.
Jackie, put a dollar in the turtle drawer.
And we're going to donate it to Save the Turtles.
Oh, you know what? I kind of love that. And then we can still use plastic straws because we're like counteracting our carbon footprint by saving money for turtles.
Speaking of the turtles, I'm using a reusable, sustainable cup today, Morning Toast merch.
Oh, I am using a can of LaCroix. And I feel like cans aren't bad, right? It's plastic that's the enemy.
It's the plastic that keeps the cans together, that six.
LaCroix doesn't do that. It comes in a cardboard
LaCroix
box.
LaCroix does a cardboard. But that's what you have to look out for. So we are saving the turtles.
I do feel like as a society, we definitely have like moved past the need for those plastic rings. Like it's kind of like tacky.
I agree. And I like a cardboard box anyway.
Me too.
What was I saying though?
The Redheads, you see both sides. You wrote a jingle about it.
I wrote a jingle about it and I'm sustainable?
Question
Because
mark.
I'm saving the turtles. Because Turdy Lou, that's how we got here.
Yeah. I too am, you know, making progress in my reading journey. I have about like 40 pages of Demon Copperhead left. And I know what you're going to say, Turdy, why don't you just like finish it last night?
How does someone have 40 pages left of a book that's around 400 pages that they've immensely enjoyed?
Because honestly, like the last 100 pages of the book are so like it was going to be 5 stars. And I feel like maybe now it's 4.
What's going on with the demon?
I mean, he's just in the throes of his addiction. Spoiler alert. Dory overdosed. So she's gone. And you thought like maybe that would be the thing because she was really tethering him to the addiction. Like he had all these hopes and dreams of like quitting and he was like obviously taking pills every day, but he wasn't like, you know, high all the time in the sense that he had a job. And she was really bringing him down and her passing away just had the opposite effect. So now it's just like everything's bad. They're going up to Devil's Bathtub and I know something bad happens at Devil's Bathtub. I think that's like the climax of the book. And I just wasn't in the mood to get there. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. Finish the damn book.
But also, I have a lot of time before book club meets, like over a week. I usually finish the book like right before because I like it to be fresh in my mind. So I'm actually in no rush.
Got it. I'm in an immense rush. We're recording tonight. Make sure to send your questions to redheadsbookclub@gmail.com.
You're in a big time rush?
I'm in a big time rush. And next Redheads book is my choice. Pressure. Any suggestions?
Oh, let me think. I have been so bad on my reading journey. I haven't read much.
I could give you guys a little preview of what I'm thinking.
I would love that.
People could sound off. It's a historical fiction, we didn't just read historical fiction. So it would just be like two in a row. No big deal. And it is called Lady Tan's Circle of Women. And it's a time and place that I've not read about whatsoever. It's 15th century China. But it has 4.37 stars on Goodreads.
I have like no books to share because I've been, what am I up to on my Goodreads goal? Like I'm not going to hit it this year. I actually have read maybe 5 books. I've read 7 books. That's really bad.
Yeah, I don't even know if I... Oh, wait. I haven't even set my reading challenge. Okay, the challenge. My goal is 40. That's what I read last year. I've read 6. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Serena's on here. Oh, my God. And one of them is a book that Snitch read because she used my Kindle. Oh, that's embarrassing. I have to delete it. Oh, my God. I've read 5 books and I'm about to have 6.
Sorry, we're just over here thriving as businesswomen, as mothers, as friends, and as sisters. Like, you know, we can't do it all, okay?
Yeah, but the crazy thing is it's not like I've been watching TV either.
Me neither.
What have I been doing with my evenings?
No, I sat down to watch Vanderpump Rules. And I don't feel like it's a statement on the season because I happen to think, like, everybody thinks it's a really good season and I don't disagree. I find it, like, unwatchable. Like, I find 30 minutes go by and I haven't looked up from my phone. It's, like, really bad.
I understand. That's a you thing.
I think I'm like not in a place to consume reality TV. I don't know why.
It's just like not capturing your attention enough. But you do have to like try to put your phone down. Otherwise, you're not going to.
I know. That's like sort of my life. I have to try to put my phone down.
Yeah. That's everyone's life. Reminder, put your phone down, but keep listening to the toast.
Put your phone down and your headphones in. The show is about to begin. So we've got a great show today. It's Tuesday, which means nothing. But what does it mean for the stories? Describe them for me.
The stories were a journey, let me tell you, because I was combing through the publications and I didn't have nary a story in sight.
Oh, that's bad.
But then I went to People Magazine, which is usually my second stop.
What's your first? Page six?
Page six, yeah. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 I have five stories.
Oh, so you're saying People Magazine is doing the work.
Yeah, and I guess if I could give you a preview of the stories, they're of the People Magazine elk, though. Oh, that's misleading because that sounds like, you know,
human interest, circus, dogs, freaks.
It's not that. It's more like my publicist sent this in. Can you give it a read?
My publicist wanted you to know X.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so that's how I see People Magazine.
I see People Magazine, like, seriously, because I think... For me, I know it's an online publication, but for me, they're an airport tabloid. Like, nobody outside of an airport or outside of, like, 30,000 feet reads People Magazine in a physical sense. Or outside of
picking the past five stories.
No. In a physical sense. Like, you don't pick up People Magazine and read it, do you, at home?
People do. Well, that's just magazines in general. You would say that about any magazine.
No, I feel like people get The New Yorker, you know?
Okay. Tabloid magazine.
Yeah. People Magazine is, like, the one magazine that I feel survived the tabloid, like... transition. They're a leading, you know, digital publication, but I will always think of them as like an airport purchase. And so I'm always thinking about reading on an airplane about, you know, I'm the man with the 19-pound scrotum.
Yeah. Which you love him.
Yeah. Like, woman chained to a well for 35 years is released. And it turns out she's Jewish, you know?
Right. Classic.
So stuff of that elk.
You like that elk.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. But that's not like, if that's the elk on a Tuesday, it's going to be a long week.
Yeah, I agree. But sounds like you found salvation at peoplemagazine.com and the stories are good.
Yeah. The story's storied. But like, for a moment there, I was thinking like, are the Fast Five canceled? No.
We haven't gotten there ever.
I reserve the right.
But just know, the day might come.
And I think everyone would be fine with that. They support Yard Girlies. I think as long as the episode doesn't suffer in quality or length, they say do what you want with your time.
Do what you want. What you want with my body. That's like a cursed song.
What song is that?
Lady Gaga and R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And the message, which I think at the time felt perhaps innocuous, now feels, you know, R. Kelly coded.
Eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a convo dead end, don't you say?
I wouldn't say it's a dead end. I would say it's like a downer for sure. I would say that.
I feel down. When I climb into bed, I start feeling sad.
Well, sorry about that.
Make like Friends and pivot.
Oh my God. Are you using a Friends reference?
Yeah. I like Friends references and I like the story synopses that you give us. I just don't want to watch the show ever in my life.
Let me tell you something about growing
up. The Massapequa, but a magical place.
Let me tell you something about growing up. There was a time in my life when, like, I wouldn't even hear Friends slander. And I'll hear it now. I don't agree with it, but, like, I could see the critiques. It's, like, a little stupid.
I will not say anything.
But I love it, and it's, like, a comforting show.
Yeah, it's a comforting show.
You know, Gen Z is having a moment right now. There's sort of a renaissance, a Sex and the City renaissance.
Oh, I like that for them.
Because the show has just been added to... Netflix for the first time. It was always on Max and, you know.
That's interesting considering, like, it's a Max of a show.
And it's still on Max, but I guess they, you know, made some money and sold it to Netflix. And people are having a renaissance, the young kids. I'm seeing it on TikTok. But there's some hard truths in Sex and the City that aren't, like, you know, Gen Z coded. They'd be like, that hurt my feelings, but it's true. Two, there are also a couple slurs. There's actually an episode that I watched the other day where there are, cross-dressers living outside, not living, working outside Samantha's apartment. And she uses the slur about them.
The T that ends in Y.
That's the one. Many times. There's a lot of just, you know, kind of crazy rhetoric in the episode. And then at the end of the episode, they all, you know, there's peace in the neighborhood. Samantha invites everyone over for a barbecue. I think it's like a season finale. And they play that song at the end. We're flying above the clouds. And Carrie, obviously, it's kind of like an amazing moment. Like, they're on this rooftop. It's summer in New York. It's the end of a season. All the girlies are in a good place. Trey and Charlotte are working it out. And this song starts playing. And then, of course, Carrie has to ruin it. And she, like, she does and says something in an accent that would have gotten her canceled. Like, it's beyond not okay. And I just, like, I'm waiting for the tide to turn when it comes to the, you know, the Sex and the City renaissance that's currently going on.
So you want them to be canceled?
No, I don't want anyone to be canceled. Like, I'm, you know, grown enough to understand that times used to be different and you used to be able to say things that you can't say now. I do wonder if Netflix, like, bleeped it out. They did.
What's your stance? I think it's like an ongoing conversation. If, like, things from the past that at the time, obviously there was nothing wrong with it because it would have been a brouhaha then. Yep. But it doesn't age well.
Yeah, I think that another example is Entourage. Like, in the first season of Entourage, they use the R word, the F slur, like, a ton. So when I first watched it, I was like, oh my God, do I think it should be cut out? Like, no, we did that shit.
Yeah.
It's a reflection of the culture. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah, but, like, it happened.
Yeah. I also think, like, by erasing it and then people don't know that it was ever there, that it was ever offensive, then it's just going to become a cycle where it's like,
oh, we're saying it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting debate.
And also, when you think about Sex and the City, like, the creator of Sex and the City being a gay man, like, it wasn't coming from a place of hate. It was just coming from a place of, like, that's how people spoke.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how the dialogue unfolds.
Well, I think that show would be a good influence for Gen Z.
You know?
Yeah, like, get out of the house, touch grass, go be with friends and people. Like, they're never really in their apartments unless, like, Carrie's, like, writing her thing. Like, they need to live a little.
Yeah, I like that. It's definitely a show that embraces, you know, life.
Life, and makes you want to get out, have fun, with friends, be social. It's not a depressing show about depressed people.
No, but it does sometimes make me depressed because I think a lot about how, like, the city is so different, because the whole show, like, is really, like, a love letter to New York and how, like, things were so different from, like, a socialization standpoint. Now, of course, like, the times change, but, like, everyone is so recluse now and, like, secluded, and just the social scene was so different. It's definitely glamorized, but it feels so much more fabulous than it was now. But maybe, you know, you always look back on things with rose-colored glasses.
The city was just more fabulous then than it is now.
And it's
even
really,
watching Gossip Girl, like, that was 10 years ago. That's not the same city.
No, it's gorgeously done. Like,
and when Gossip Girl was on, we didn't feel like they were glamorizing New York. We're like, oh, they're just filming over there.
That's actually really true.
But it looks glamorous now compared to what New York's become.
Yeah. Also, watching the first season of Sex and the City is quite jarring because you realize, like, they were taking the show in a totally different direction and they changed it. There's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall. Carrie's, like, it comes at it, like, from, like, an anthropological POV. They're, like, street interviewing people. They stopped doing that almost immediately. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see what the show was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be good for the kids.
I mean, it can't be worse than whatever they're doing. Like, it's gotten them to a really bad place, I would say. Try something new.
I too would say.
Yeah. Like, it's time.
I wasn't sure where I was going, but I am excited to dive into the Fast Five, and I do think it's time.
I agree. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by L'Oreal Paris Lash Paradise Mascara. If you're looking for volume, if you're looking for length, if you're looking for, like, a gorgeous done-up eye look that's going to make your eyes pop and your eyes feel huge, check out the L'Oreal Paris Lash Paradise Mascara. Clean Girl Aesthetic is out. We're doing done-up eyes. We're doing the mob wife look. We're looking for sultry lashes, bold eye looks. That is in, and Lash Paradise is the staple product for the trending looks. With intense volume and lengthening of Lash Paradise, it's giving you luxe-level lashes. The fluffy bristle brush gives the fuller-looking lashes almost instantly, and it is the perfect mascara and lash look for day and tonight. It does last all day. You're wanting to drop the falsies. It feels like it's too much to maintain. The glue is just not working. It's messy. Lash Paradise Mascara is giving you all the drama for your lashes without the falsies. You can order Lash Paradise now on Amazon. I am wearing it today. I love the Lash Paradise Mascara. It's like a staple drugstore product. I feel like beauty gurus, makeup artists swear by it. It's always in their kit. It's super affordable. And it's also, I think, one of the best mascaras. I think L'Oreal makes the best mascaras. And the Lash Paradise Mascara is no exception. You can order Lash Paradise now on Amazon. The fluffy bristle brush is going to give you fuller looking lashes instantly. It is perfect for a glam look, day to night, work, cocktails, date night, whatever it is. The L'Oreal Lash Paradise Mascara. You can order it now on Amazon. You will not regret it. Today's episode is also brought to you by Stamps.com. When you're making decisions for your company, you're always looking for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing and shipping needs, Stamps.com is the obvious choice for a reason. It streamlines your processes and makes your business more efficient, freeing you up to focus on the bigger decisions. Taking care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go, with Stamps.com and the mobile app. All you need is a computer and a printer. They'll even send you a free scale. You can easily schedule package pickups through Stamps.com dashboard. You can automatically see the cheapest and fastest shipping options for different carriers. So if you're mailing checks, invoices, legal documents, books, everything, you can do it and keep your business running at Stamps.com. They seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. And you can access the best part, which is the USPS and UPS mailing services that you need to run your business right from your computer, your phone, anytime, day or night. There's no lines, there's no traffic, and no waiting. And you're going to get those rates you cannot find anywhere else, like up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. Order shipping and mailing supplies, labels, and even printers from the supply store at Stamps.com when you're running low. Make the same no-brainer decision as over a million businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code TOAST for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. There are no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code TOAST. That is Stamps.com. Click the microphone at the top of the page. Enter code TOAST for that special offer of a four-week trial, free postage, and a free digital scale. Today's episode is also brought to you by KiwiCo Panda Crate, a bi-monthly subscription for babies 0 to 24 months. It is perfect for brain-building play. It is made fun, and it is made with care. KiwiCo baby products are free of BPA, phthalates, and lead, and they're only using non-toxic water-based paints and finishes. So you can feel good knowing it's made really well, it's made safely, and the actual product is science-backed play. So when it comes to babies' playtime, trust matters. KiwiCo goes above and beyond. It is designed in partnership with the experts at Seattle Children's Hospital. KiwiCo Panda Crates are not only safe and high of quality, they are also age-appropriate and supportive of your baby's growth. It is brain-building play. It's made fun. They support your baby's rapid development with products that are made to support child-led play and encourage open-ended exploration. Nurture your little one's growing brain through fun and engaging play. Just right products and helpful tips to navigate every stage of development. I feel like as a full-time auntie and, you know, of course, a mother of two here, we know how difficult it is to get those kids playing with something that lasts more than 5 minutes, and you don't want to just throw them in front of a screen. So you want something stimulating, something educational, and something that's going to keep them busy. That's KiwiCo Panda Crate. Its thoughtful quality design choices and materials promote healthy development. Their products are designed with high quality materials, ensuring they withstand the test of time. So unlock brain building play with KiwiCo Panda Crate and get 20% off your first month with code TOAST at KiwiCo.com/panda. This also makes a great gift for a mom in your life with Mother's Day coming up. Take advantage of our offer, 20% off your first month at KiwiCo.com/panda. The promo code is TOAST at KiwiCo.com/panda, promo code TOAST.
Thank you, La.
You're welcome.
Our first story, a little sports news to kick off the day. Travis Kelce inks a 2-year contract extension, making him the highest paid tight end in the NFL.
And Jason Kelce also had some big news.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about Travis for
but
a second?
I'm saying, are you making it a story? Like,
I wasn't going to, but I will.
1A and B.
1A and B sounds good to me. Kelce, okay. Brethren news.
And they were both announced on the same day.
I mean, when it rains, it pours.
It's true.
But Travis Kelce has signed a new contract extension. The 2-year contract will make him the highest paid tight end in the league. He will make more than $17 million per year, according to a report by NFL.com. After he's been in the NFL for 11 seasons, he's talked about his eventual retirement, but he has at least 2 more years now with the Kansas City Chiefs. Thoughts?
I think he should be the highest paid tight end in the NFL. One, he won, so like that does make him the best. Two,
yeah, because before that, it was the tight end for the Giants.
Okay,
he's making $17 million a year.
That's really crazy.
But I didn't see the Giants out there
like shaking their thing.
No.
Not once.
I saw the Chiefs. I did.
Yeah. And when you think about all the money that Travis has brought in for that franchise, especially in the last year with like his fame and his fortune, people going to Chiefs games, buying Chiefs merch. He had like a 400% increase in jersey sales. He deserves this raise. Honestly, I don't think it's enough.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, there was no way the Chiefs were going to let him go now because he's doing so much for the franchise by way of his relationship. And they've spoken about
how they're building this dynasty, and that includes keeping like players, Travis, Patrick, and Mahomes. Like they're building like a Gronk, what was his name? Tom Brady, Julian Edelman energy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure any team would have paid a little more to have him, more than his abilities.
Oh, you think?
I do think. I think his relationship is major for team, like sales, everything. No, by the way,
that's an amazing point. Do you think he got bigger, better offers?
Than Kansas City?
Yeah.
No, but I think maybe, I mean, his last contract was $14 million. They won the Super Bowl, means he did a good job. $17 million for the next, like, isn't that much of a crazy jump? But I think there's an intangible success that he brings and revenue that he brings that he could be getting paid for.
I think he also loves Kansas City, and maybe like if he had been offered a couple million more somewhere else, it wasn't worth it to him to A, like upend his social life. He loves the town. It's like obviously comfortable for Taylor. He just bought this new house. Like sometimes taking a little bit less money to protect your quality of life and your peace, like he's not that far from his parents and his brother. Like he could have been traded to the, you know, LAC. Like that's far. So sometimes like, and maybe Travis is at a place when you have so much money, like you can afford to take a little bit less money for a better quality of life.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would love to know if there were any offers coming through.
Like who's a team, like who's the equivalent in football of like the Yankees? Everybody knows the Yankees is the richest franchise. Like they have all this money.
The Cowboys.
Yes, you're right about that.
So the Cowboys.
I wouldn't hate, honestly, like I kind of like that like vibe, Texas, you know, all American energy. But no, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And it's certainly not broke.
No. And the new big house, Taylor's a part of the social scene down there. It's like,
it's working for them. You know, a move, all the WAGs, anytime their husband or their boyfriend moves, it throws their life into disarray and they have to make a new home in a new town. It's on the women. And I think the stability is good for the relationship. So this is good.
I also can see a world in which the Kansas City Chiefs would have topped any offer that came in because they're on this like path to creating, you know, like what they say, a dynasty, and they have the money and they've had a banner year, I'm sure financially as well. So I think this probably also was like one of the top offers.
Yeah. And I think also Patrick wants to play with Travis.
Yeah.
And I think that they listen to Patrick. Like, who do you want to throw the ball to? Travis.
But what was Patrick's contract? Like $500 million for, I think, maybe 5 years. He is like what he had one of the biggest. Somebody else just got like a bigger one, but
Travis doesn't seem like a jealous type.
No, it's just kind of crazy how like Travis is the one getting tackled, you know? Like
he's taking the hits.
Yeah, physically.
Yeah. But a quarterback is a quarterback, law.
1,000%, 1,000%. Love this.
Mazel tov. I hope they're celebrating in style.
We got a little bit more footage from that charity event they went to last night, and somebody caught a moment on camera of Travis just like kissing Taylor's shoulder, like in like a goofy, but like very, like it wasn't like sensual. It was just like giddy almost kind of way. And my God, the internet is like, I understand, myself included, like not okay. It's crazy to see like a literal 300-pound man like acting like that, you know?
Yeah.
Obsessed.
But he's in love. True love.
1,000%.
Part B to this story is that Jason Kelce will be joining ESPN as an NFL analyst for Monday Night Football's pregame show. So in news that just makes complete sense that I didn't think of, because I just assumed like he has his post-football career of being a podcaster and what more does a person need? I couldn't tell you. But he's also joining Monday Night Football's pregame show on ESPN.
Did they say how much it was for? Because like I'm nosy and I'm just curious.
I'm scrolling. I'm majorly scrolling. But no, I haven't seen any figures.
That's so Jason to like keep the number under wraps. He's not tacky like that.
That's so Jason to keep the numbers under wraps.
That's so he's. Did you see Orlando Brown?
He's so mysterious to me.
Went on a podcast and said him and Raven had a baby. But he's also like, like a liar, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
I just want to say, like, I kind of ship.
I know, no, like, super I hope it's true. I don't think it's true, but sure. No.
Like, she's totally happily married. Her and her wife come up on my TikTok all the time.
Does she have kids?
I don't think so. I think they only recently got married, like in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think that she had. So he's saying, like, they had a baby
back in the day.
Gave it up.
Like, no, back in the day. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch the whole podcast.
And the child's grown?
He just said they had a baby. He didn't really, there will be no explanation. There will just be this podcast interview of Orlando.
There would just be Raven and Orlando's baby.
Yeah. Orlando Brown, greater than Orlando Bloom.
In some circles.
Right. People with taste.
In this circle. I've watched more Orlando Brown acting in my life than I've watched Orlando Bloom.
And I don't think that gets talked about enough.
No, like, I wouldn't change it for anything. What, you think I'm going to watch Pirates of the Caribbean? Crabbean? I'm not.
I just want to double check something before I say it, which I really need to start doing more of.
You want to see what Orlando Bloom has been in?
No. He's been in That's a Raven. I know he was arrested, and I just wanted to...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's
couple of times. He's a troubled youth.
Yeah, he's troublesome, for sure.
For sure. What was the story?
Oh, congratulations to Jason Kelce, Monday Night Football. I think he's an excellent choice. He's got the personality. He's got the knowledge. He's got the facts. He's got the
connections.
Yeah, no brainer, seriously. Like, he's a talker for a living. He'll be fabulous.
Yeah, I love, and being on ESPN and Monday Night Football, like, I know Tony Romo, like, I think only covers Cowboys games.
Well, to me, Tony Romo's always on TV because our TV's always playing Cowboys games.
To me, Tony Romo is the great loss of Jessica Simpson's life, but I don't think either of them feel that way. Honestly, ready? I'm going to say something crazy.
Okay.
Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo walked so Travis and Taylor could run.
Yeah, perhaps. You don't
believe me? Google the photos of them licking blue icing off of each other. Like, that photo left an indelible mark on me.
But I think what can give you solace is there's really no bad blood. Like, it really didn't end badly. The only reason why it ended was because of John Pesky-ass mayor.
Yeah.
And Tony Romo seems like a good guy.
By the way, Tony Romo seems like a good guy. Family man energy.
There's nothing in the book that would make you look at him differently. In fact, the opposite.
Agreed. She, like, really spoke glowingly about him.
Like, she bought him a boat, and then he would go out on the boat with his friends and play her music and be like, everyone listen to Jessica.
And I feel like he was maybe one of the only guys who she named who she didn't really say anything bad about. Like, Nick Lachey, there was plenty to unpack.
I think she feels bad about the way that it ended because, like, it ended because she was still hung up on John Mayer. And John Mayer was, like, kept coming around.
Yeah.
And Tony, like, wanted to move forward. And
she couldn't. Very traditional, yeah.
Yeah, and she couldn't.
We could have lived in a world, though, like, where that was endgame. And I'm happy with how it worked out for everyone, but, like, I do often think about that parallel universe.
No, and you just know that they would have been good together because Jessica Simpson didn't wind up with someone so dissimilar to Tony Romo, and neither did Tony Romo end up with someone so dissimilar to Jessica Simpson.
Seriously, it's giving, like, right person, wrong time.
Yeah, as things do. But it's all worked out.
Yeah,
and like both of them are still happily married. So like they're obviously in the right situation for them.
No, it's good. It's good. But it could have been great.
Well, speaking of actually an amazing segue into our next story, which is a little new sports romance news.
Oh my God, what is it?
You probably don't know because I only saw it this morning in People magazine. But Johnny Manziel, the name on everybody's lips this week, is... in a romance with Josie Canseco. They confirm their romance with photos showing them cozying up at Stagecoach this year.
Now, this is the sort of story like I actually don't care about, you know?
Oh, that's so funny. That's where you and I diverge. Maybe because I watched his Untold, Johnny Manziel, and I just find him interesting. And you also didn't watch the season of Selling Sunset. But you know Brie from Selling Sunset? She has a baby with Nick Cannon.
Oh, yes.
Before that, she was married to Johnny Manziel. So, like, he just keeps coming up for me.
Oh, it's so funny.
And Josie Canseco used to date Logan Paul and before that, Brody Jenner. So she keeps coming up for me. And then these two find each other and they go to Stagecoach. Like, that's something I need to know.
I find Josie Canseco so interesting because I just love the fact that her dad is, like, famed baseballer Jose Canseco and they named her Josie. Like, they literally have the same name.
Yeah, but that's... people do that, you know, you name someone after someone living. In our religion, you don't do that. And it's like the male-female version, Jose. No,
I just love Josie. That there's a famous Jose Canseco and Jose Canseco, you know, like.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And I don't dislike this relationship. I could see them getting along. Except how does John, not that you would know, I'm asking the general public, how does Johnny Manziel make money these days?
No, that's an amazing question. Like, definitely, he's a person who's, like, famous, but not for his work. Like, he doesn't have work, but he's, like, I don't know.
No, and at the time where he was working and he was a college football player, and then when he was in the NFL, he was making really good money, but that was, like, a very long time ago at this point. And from what I learned in Untold, like, he was not financially responsible. He, like, blew through everything. I don't know what he's doing right now and how he could be making the kind of money that he needs.
Net worth means nothing. It does say that his current, as of 2024, net worth is $1 million.
I believe that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Is it enough to keep Josie?
Wait, there is, like, a theory that his family has generational wealth.
Okay, tell me the theory, but based on what I saw in the documentary, I don't think that's true.
Many wondered how someone could jeopardize a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to become a big name in the NFL, but they also believed it was because Manziel knew he had his family's wealth to fall back on. It's not every day that you see a person in their 20s living a lavish lifestyle. While he was making money from the NFL, Manziel always claimed his family had decades of generational wealth. Now, with Manziel's new documentary, Untold, out on Netflix, new details have been uncovered about his family and the money they make. And it says Johnny Manziel's generational wealth doesn't really exist.
Okay, I see both sides. Like, I see the fact that only someone who has a safety net could squander such an opportunity and not be, like, just putting everything he has towards it. On the other side of it, he squandered most of his opportunity because, like, his crime when he was playing college football was that he was accepting money. He was going and doing signings. He was selling merchandise. He was doing, like, events because he wanted to be making all this money. And I think if he had all this money, he would have been able to wait a couple more years.
Okay, by the way, that's exactly what this says. It says that he was taking money during NCAA, breaking the rules. So his manager knew he couldn't be seen having, like, living this wealthy lifestyle. So they needed a backstory. Yep. Came up with the idea of saying they had Texas oil money. As a freshman, you aren't allowed to talk to the media, but they were allowed to talk to me. So the biggest spin that still exists is that I invented the narrative that his family was vastly wealthy. And the narrative stuck, and so many believe it to this day. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, it's all cleared up. There's no generational wealth.
Cool.
So I hope he's working.
But if he's not, at least he's in a happy relationship.
Yeah.
But yes, so, there are a couple of people I think often about their financial circumstances. This is, like, a long-running joke on the toast because it always was the Beermans, but now I feel like, you know, my concerns were valid.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do I often think, like, how do they pay their bills? Because, like, just because you're famous doesn't mean you're rich. And oftentimes, like, a certain, like, D-list level, you actually, like, have no money.
Yeah.
And just because TMZ follows you around in the airport, like, doesn't mean you can pay your bills.
Unless you're calling them and selling that.
Like, yeah, but, yeah.
But typically, if you're famous, you can turn that into money.
Well, that would be ideal.
If you're smart, yeah. Yeah. Okay, ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Barbra Streisand has gotten herself into some hot water. She commented on Melissa McCarthy's Instagram. It was a photo of Melissa and her choreographer. And Barbra commented saying, hold on.
Wait, Melissa has a choreographer?
Yeah, she said, give him my, this was the comment from Barbra, quote, give him my regards. Did you take Ozempic?
Okay, so
she has since deleted the comment, but not before being dragged.
Now, I feel like Babs, like, it's not even active on social media. Like, the fact that she's making waves, like, in regards to a comment, like, I wouldn't have guessed she even ran her own Instagram. I would guess it was run by, like, an agency promoting, you know, her memoirs and such.
Memoirs of a Streisand.
So, if you know, at least she's authentic, you know, running her own socials. That's the bonus here. I'm trying to look on the bright side. I feel
think,
like,
maybe this was intended to be a DM.
Okay, that's a good theory. I feel like she typed, like, text him my regards and then accidentally pressed voice to text and then posted the comment. Like, that's the only way I can think of, like, how you had such a, like, a pivot in the conversation.
Yeah. No, because then, like, wouldn't the D be capital if it was, like, coming from a voice to text?
Let me test that theory. I'm going to text you, okay?
And also, she would still be posting it on purpose because she said, did you take Ozempic? Unless she was, had someone next to her with drastic weight loss.
Oh, maybe she was sitting next to me. Send him my regards. Did you take Ozempic? Lowercase.
Okay, that's in line. That's a theory.
But I happen to actually like your theory better. Like, maybe these two know each other, and like someone, you know, that you're comfortable with, like you could ask that question to. Maybe they have that sort of relationship. But I've never known these two to be besties.
And maybe she doesn't really know the difference between a comment and a DM. Like, what's that other people are going to see this that it would cause such a hubbub versus like I'm thinking I'm just like privately responding to what you're putting out there.
And is Melissa McCarthy like looking much different? I feel like she had drastic weight loss like many years ago.
Yeah. And,
so,
and
like,
she
this isn't new.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't see this picture and be like, oh my God.
No, she looks the same.
Yeah. Hmm. She looks great. Plenty vibes.
I love that. Like, they, no one's trying, but they couldn't make me hate Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, that's good.
But like, there is no movement, you know, for that.
Yet.
I know. Likeability's a prison, Jax.
I know. So I'm going to give Barbara Streisand grace on this. Like, woman live.
Yeah, also, like, just always keep in mind, it's, like, the elders and social media, you know, it's never going to be good.
Yeah, and as far as bad things that could go wrong, this is nothing.
Yeah, but let this be the lesson here. Like, your favorite singer is also an authentic influencer. Like, she's out here with Instagram on her phone. I would have guessed prior to this, she doesn't even have Instagram downloaded on her phone. It was done by a management company. It's, you know, maintained for her to promote, you know, commemorate anniversaries and post about new projects, greatest hits, things of that nature. I never would have guessed it was out. She was out here. You know, every now and then she'd send a selfie to the management team, be like, for the Instagram.
Yeah, I want to see her Instagram.
To update my Facebook pages.
But she's like not even coming up. Unless I'm spelling Barbara wrong.
Well, maybe she deleted her Instagram because now she's humiliated by her faux pas.
Yeah, or she shadow banned.
No, I found her.
You did?
Send her to me. It's Barbara.
Barbara, not Barbara?
No, not Barbara, Barbara.
Oh, I was writing Barbara. Oh, that's interesting.
I'm sorry. Actually, now, if I take a look at it, like, she posts a lot of her personal political beliefs, pictures of her dogs. I do think perhaps it's co-managed because there is the classic, like, you know, ticketed virtual event, memoirs, throwback to memoirs me on the of cover of Vanity Fair. But I do feel like there's also some personal items in there.
No, this is not like a tip-top agency. That's for sure.
No, this collage of her.
This collage of flowers. Oh, 42. My God. No, Claudia. This is self-run.
All the flowers she got on her birthday. She had 42 arrangements.
She wrote the original song for Tattooist of Auschwitz, which is coming out.
Oh, love that partnership.
I've been seeing some promotion for
me
it.
Me too.
I don't know if I have the heart to watch a Holocaust miniseries, but it looks good. And people love the book. It's like Tyler Cameron's favorite book.
I stole it from I stole it from the rental house we rented over Christmas break. Mm-hmm. I didn't steal it. There was a bookshelf and I swapped a book. I left a book and I took a book. I feel like that's what you do. But people were like, no, Claudia, that's stealing. Stealing and littering. And I've been meaning to read it. I do want to watch a series. I want to read the book first.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's your next read.
It's been my next read for 6 months.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, this Instagram page is wild. It's a wild ride. I'm fascinated.
It's not what I would have expected it to be.
No. So,
but that's
bad
for you.
I'm giving grace. I don't know about you all.
I've decided to give grace as well in this moment.
Great. And now, are you ready to give grace to our next story?
If it's the story brought to you by Saks.com.
Yes.
Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by Saks.com, which makes sense because Saks.com is a fabulous place and we are fabulous people. Jackie and I have decided we're saying yes to warm weather this year, and that means stepping up our wardrobes with the help of Saks.com. Everybody knows that Saks.com is the place to shop, making it easy for us to jump into spring and summer fashion trends as we approach the warmer seasons. Whether you're looking for new boots for Stagecoach, beachwear for St. Bart's, new activewear for a 5K perhaps you're training for, they've got it all at Saks.com. You know, as native New Yorkers, we have been shopping at Saks.com for years. So like we've kind of been like put onto it. Why I love Saks.com is first of all, they know how to organize their website. Like shopping online is overwhelming, especially like a big store like Saks, but they have so many different edits and different categories that like if you're looking for, I feel like so many people have like weddings this summer where they're going to be guests at, like wedding guests, they have an edit for it. Festival, like they have really specific, you know, day to night edits. If you're looking for something specific, it's not overwhelming at Saks.com. And they also just have like premium brands that aren't, I feel like, overexposed yet. You know, like they're putting us on to brands like Staud and Loewe, Favorite Daughter. They do a great job of finding up and coming designers so you can hop onto new trends before everyone else. Like, I know I won't tell the story again about me wearing that six skirt to the Eras store that I bought at sex.com. And then everybody else was wearing that Danielle Guizio skirt. But like I, like a brand that I love now is Eero Paris. And the first item I ever bought from there was from sex.com, actually for Jackson Brittany's wedding. And now it's like one of my go-to brands. So with different curated shops like Spring Wedding Guest, It Girl Closet, you can find anything from a cozy vibe to a more elevated look at Saks.com. So discover new ways to shop for everything every day at Saks.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Liquid IV. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. Liquid IV hydrates you with the benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, clinically tested nutrients. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one single stick, it is clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. So one stick of Liquid IV into 16 ounces of water is going to hydrate you better than water alone. You tear, you pour, and then you live more. The science-backed formula is an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn the ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. It has three times the electrolytes of leading sports drink. It has 8 vitamins and nutrients. It is non-GMO. It is vegan. It is gluten-free. It is dairy-free. It's soy-free. True. With the hot weather upon us, so important to stay hydrated. Whether you have long days, long nights, flying a lot, I always keep one in my travel bag because like I just somehow always end up with a migraine on a plane and I always end up dehydrated. Having a stick of Liquid IV in your travel bag at all times will change lives. If you work long days, if you go to the office, throw it in your bag. It's great for a hangover. It's just great to stay on top of that fatigue. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV and get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com. Use the promo code TOAST at checkout. That is 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com.
Thank you, La.
You're welcome.
Just got me shopping on sax.com. I need some tings.
That's my influence.
Our next story, Rihanna teases her amazing R9 album and says it needs to represent her evolution. So Rihanna has an update on R9. During the launch of her Fenty Beauty Soft Lift Foundation in LA on Saturday, she opened up about the status of her long-awaited next album. She said, it's going to be amazing. It has to be. That's the only reason it's not out yet. I'm not feeling it. If I'm not feeling it and I'm not feeling like it represents the evolution, the time I spent away, there should be a show of growth, right? I want to play and I feel like music is a playground and I want to have fun with it and show where I'm at. I'm not a big collaborator. It has to be very intentional. So I'll know when I have the record.
The thing is, I feel like we get like a fake update on Rihanna's next album once a year for the last 10 years and nothing has happened. And the way, like, I don't care. I feel like every time we talk about this, I say, like, I'm giving Rihanna grace. Like, I love the era she's in. I feel like she's so happy being a mom, so fulfilled, like, obviously financially, but also, you know, I feel like she feels like she's, you know, contributing and she feels like she has purpose with her business. Her businesses couldn't be more successful. Like, how nice it must be to not like feel pressure. I think a lot of artists feel pressure to A, stay relevant and B, keep making money by releasing new music. It's like this hamster wheel you can't get off of. It's like that One Direction trope in that documentary, studio tour, studio tour, studio tour. To be off of that must be lovely. Like, she must not be dying to get back on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't ever expect that we would get new music, honestly, at this point. I've given up, so whenever it comes, like, I'll just be excited. Take your time. Take your time. I feel like all the hits she's given us in the past, like, they're so timeless. Like, if I want Rihanna music, I'll just go listen to some old stuff.
What do you think is the best Rihanna song?
Oh.
Because it's 4 or 5 seconds.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I love that
song. I like that song so much, but not the best one. Certainly not.
Bitch Better Have My Money.
Oh, so, so good.
Love on the Brain.
Not my favorite.
Really?
No, like, I like them all. I also like Love the Way You Lie so much.
I feel that.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, and also, what's the one?
Oh, Diamonds in the Sky, like.
Oh, yeah. But I forget. Remember when for the Super Bowl, there was like, everyone thought she was going to open with that one song, Run This Town.
No, she's like a hit maker.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you just said R9, if you would have asked me prior, like, how many albums does Rihanna have? I would have said like 4. I can't believe she had 9.
Yeah. So everyone can stay waiting. And then they there's can. Also like, We Found Love, which is seriously one of the best songs of all time. But like, timeless. We're just so used to it that it's, and it's also such a basic choice, but it's an incredible song.
I just personally, like, there's no pressure coming to me from Rihanna. I love to see a woman out here, like, being a successful businesswoman, mom. I feel like she's a person who has a lot of inner peace right now. And, mm-hmm. like, I'm happy for that. Like, and I feel like true Rihanna fans, like, just want her to be happy.
Yeah, and I think when you as a person can just, like, accept... People, like, are worried if they don't put out an album, if they don't do this, they're just going to, like, fall away. And then so they just, like, keep manufacturing stuff. And it's just so fake. But when you can, like, actually have true acceptance, it's like, okay, if I go away for a little, like, that's okay. But people, if you're, like, the cream rises and we miss you and we still think about you and you could never be irrelevant.
It's so true.
So we stayed waiting.
And other news from Rihanna is that she's watching The Valley and she loves it.
I saw. Everyone's talking about The Valley. When I was talking to Stassi on The Toast, she majorly influenced me to start watching. I haven't yet, but it is on my list.
Of things to do.
Of things to watch, yeah. Like, and every episode that comes out, people are like, did you see what happened? Jax did this, Kristen said that. Like, it's making waves.
Do you want to know why? We have gotten to a place where people who go on reality TV feels so manufactured. People, like, really go on to get famous, and there's, like, a formula, and they just want to, like, be influencers. Like, it's really, I feel like reality TV used to be so good before we knew the landscape, and these people just had nothing to fucking lose, and they just, like...
Yeah, no, now everyone plays it so safe. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to deal with backlash. They want to be brand safe, and that'll get you to a place, but it's not going to create the next Jersey Shore.
No, and I feel like this cast of people, like, especially the newer people, like, I feel, and I don't even watch a show, but the vibe I get is, like, desperation. And that makes good TV. Like, if you want to just throw drinks and lose your mind, like, that is season one Vanderpump Rules energy. These kids had nothing to fucking lose.
No, I feel like when I watched the first episode, like, something about it was giving, like, Real Housewives of Orange County season one, like, original reality TV, in a good way and a bad way, in that sense of, like, we're putting it all out there. We want this show to work. And then also in a little bit of this is a crazy way, but I think that as Stassi said, like, the chaos will carry you through.
Yeah, no, and I feel like these people don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah, no, and that's something that's needed.
Yeah, no, I think this has the makings of perhaps, like, being a major, major franchise in the Bravo universe.
That is so funny.
I never thought I would say that, because when they announced the show, I was like, okay, who are these people?
And do you know, I forget her name. There's one mom, a couple on the show who have twin girls who play baby Cece on Young Sheldon.
I did know that. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I saw somebody sent me, like, a reel, like, day in the life
of my baby Cece's going to Young Sheldon last day on set.
And I just want to say, I feel like we've always, like, whenever I see, like, an actual newborn or, like, a really young kid on TV, I'm like, who the fuck would seriously, like, pimp their kid out like that? And the fact that it's someone on The Valley is exactly why The Valley will be successful.
Yeah.
And like I said, that desperation.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of crossover that we need. Like, baby Cece's on The Valley.
And I'm so glad you brought up Young Sheldon, because I have been keeping up. It's the final season. It is so good. I feel like they heard me. Like, the way Sheldon is not in 1 minute of the show, he's horrible. Like, he's just, like, an awful character. He's going through, like, a weird, you know, puberty period. Like, it's not the Sheldon show anymore. And at the beginning, like, give me nobody but Sheldon. And now that he's sort of grown up, he doesn't have that same sort of, like...
Charm.
And they made us love the other characters so much. George Sr., Georgie, the grandma. It's really about them now. And I just love it. And I just want to say thank you.
Great. Are you ready for the final story?
I am.
It's a little real estate news.
Oh, okay.
Sonia Morgan prepares to auction her New York City townhouse, seen in Real Housewives of New York. Sonia Morgan is bidding farewell to her famous New York City townhouse at last. The 4,650 square foot house features 4 bedrooms, 5 full bathrooms, 2 half bathrooms, lovely outdoor seating, and a 35 foot garden, as well as a secret elevator. The auction will run from May 15th to May 29th. The 5-story home is currently listed at $7.5 million. Starting bids are expected to come in between $1.75 million and $3.75 million.
Okay, I want to say, this is like the girl who cried sale. You know, I don't feel like this will really ever sell. I don't know why it seems impossible to me. And if the day ever does come where, like, it is sold, like, it will be crazy. Like, I will be genuinely shocked. But I do often wonder if the cultural impact and the history in terms of Bravo of this townhouse hurts or helps the sale.
So I think it hurts the sale in the sense that a buyer of this caliber is not really interested in the PR aspect, and seeing the house on the show, it looks like a dump. Like, even if anyone who had the money to buy this townhouse, like, it's kind of a gut reno. Like, you see all the leaks, you see everything wrong with it, you see like when the baseboards are coming off. And I think a lot of times sellers will try and hide stuff like that, but there's no hiding this. And so I think overall it's hurt the sale.
That's interesting. I wasn't asking in that sense, because I do feel like if you're spending X amount of money, like, you're always going to completely gut renovate anything that you purchase. I mean, like, the fact that, like, people know it from the outside and stop on the street. Like,
I don't
would
think
that
it
be
gets
something
that
someone
much,
wants?
I don't think it gets that much foot traffic. Like, people don't know what street it's on. Like, you have to really be a New Yorker to recognize it. It's on, like, a side street. I feel like I have an idea of where it is, but I don't feel like it's a stop on the Real Housewives of New York City. And also, again, a buyer at this level, like, doesn't want any of that if there is some of that. So, again, that doesn't help the price either. I think to buy like a multi-million dollar townhouse because you saw it on reality TV, like, if that's a driving factor for you, is incredibly weird. And it's like, if you're choosing between two townhouses, it's not in the plus column, the fact that it's from Real Housewives.
That's what I think too. I think somebody who's buying a townhouse on the Upper East Side is a very specific type of person. It's probably like a wealthy family, and they're not wanting that type of attention. They don't want people like taking pictures of the outside. I think her status and the status of the home really hinder, and I think it's a lot of the reason why. There's no reason that a house like that shouldn't have sold, like a classic townhouse on the Upper East Side. It's like, there aren't even so many of them. Like, it's amazing.
Well, I think also she's always priced it really high because it has so much, she's so attached to it and has a lot of meaning to her. I think it's also emblematic of the state of real estate in New York. And then also she said she was renting the townhouse too. And every time she would book a renter, she would have to take it off the market. So it's not like it's been on the market all of these years. It's been on and off. The house has a myriad of issues. The design, in the pictures, it looks nice, but we've seen it up close on the show and it's older. So it is kind of like a complete gut reno. I don't know what basically the lot of land goes for at this point.
It's literally Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
And I so badly want Sonia to win. I know this money would like change her life. And I know she's very attached to it because it like represents her former life. I want this house to sell.
Right. And at this point, I think in the beginning, it's like, how do you give up a $10 million townhouse? That's like what she got in her divorce, maybe other things too, but like, that's a major asset. At this point, it's just weighing her down, and she needs to release it. Her daughter is grown. It will be money in her pocket, but it will sell now, because if the starting bid is $1.75 million, reality show or not, even just to buy it and tear it down, that's an amazing deal.
I want to know what townhouses in the city go for. How many bedrooms is it?
I think I said five bedrooms, four bedrooms, five bathrooms.
Okay. I mean, this one's $65 million, but like in that area, honestly, like, she's not so off base with the 7 million.
But look at the insides. Are they new?
Yes. Okay. But so this one's like new. It's a five bedroom, eight bathroom townhouse and a couple blocks away, totally renovated. 13 million.
Okay.
Like, I want to see one that's like, okay, this one is five bedrooms, five bathrooms, 75th Street, 10 million.
New on the inside?
Yeah, but not like the most new thing you've ever seen in your life.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. Townhomes are expensive. She like has something there, but it's tough to know what it is.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit less than what she thinks and what the house is worth to her, of course.
To her, like the fact that, you know, the son of JP Morgan used to live there, that should add value to it. I think she does think her celebrity adds value to it. I think if you really take a critical look at it, like, it actually hurts.
Yeah, but it will sell. If it's really going to auction, like, someone, they're giving it away, essentially.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Elizabeth Taylor lived there. It's a different type of celebrity, which very wealthy people are, you know, kind of put their noses up at.
I think in general, like, it's a cool fact when someone has lived in a house, but I don't think it increases the value by that much unless it's someone like Elizabeth Taylor. But there's so many celebrities, like, okay, Justin Bieber lived here. Cool. He lived there too. And there, you know,
right.
But I feel like people always like say that, like, so-and-so lived here. Groovy.
Cool. Cool.
Is that extra square footage? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I thought the Fast Five, like, were amazing, actually.
You would never know how I struggled.
You would never know, but now we do because we're so authentic and transparent.
To a fault, and that's something we should work on.
Closing ourselves up a little bit.
And yeah, just being like a little more of showman.
It's what P.T. Barnum would want.
Amen, sister.
That's our show, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So at Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts, find us a toast. Leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Love ya. Bye.